Sisters and brothers, tonight I'm going to tell you three stories. One is about the Israelites in exile, because it was this group of people who edited the Psalms into the form we have today. The second story is about Moses, because the text says that Psalm 90 is a prayer of Moses. The third is about me, and hopefully more broadly about all Christians today. The Israelites thought things were going well. The descendants of David were on the throne, just like God promised. The temple in Jerusalem was the center of their worship. It had stood strong for many years. They sensed that God was close when they were in the temple. They felt God's blessings all around them. Under the shadow of your throne, your saints have dwelt secure. Sufficient is your arm alone, and our defense is sure. Back up a few hundred years. Moses thought things were going well. We can't know exactly who wrote Psalm 90 or who sung it or spoke it for the first time. It might have been someone after the exile. It might have been someone before the exile. It may really have been Moses himself. What we do know is that someone after the exile who put the Psalter together believed it was very important to attach Moses' name to this psalm. So we should take the attribution seriously. Moses thought things were going well. He had doubted God's call at first, but then he had actually confronted Pharaoh, "Let my people go." They had endured persecution, but then they actually did escape slavery in Egypt. They had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, but now here they were, on the verge of entering the Promised Land. The work that had taken Moses' entire life, this work of bringing the people from Egypt to the Promised Land, was almost done. Under the shadow of your throne, your saints have dwelt secure. Sufficient is your arm alone, and our defense is sure. I thought things were going well. I'm in my 20s, and like many people my age, I don't think about death very much. I had only attended two funerals. One was for my great-grandmother, and another was for a friend in college. When Kyle and I got married, the photographer took a picture of us with our 8 living grandparents. In his decades of taking wedding photos, he said he'd never taken one like that. I recognized death. I had walked with friends through their grief. I had sat by the beds of dying patients when I was a hospital chaplain intern. But I didn't know death. I still don't know death. Under the shadow of your throne, your saints have dwelt secure. Sufficient is your arm alone, and our defense is sure. Death interrupted the Israelites when enemies attacked. First Israel and then Judah was taken down. The people went into exile. The descendants of David weren't on the throne. The temple, the center of their faith, was destroyed. It was in this context that the book of Psalms was compiled. The Psalms leading up to Psalm 90 are full of lament over the destruction of the temple. Psalm 74 says, "The enemy has destroyed everything in the sanctuary." Psalm 78 says, "When God heard, he was full of wrath, and he utterly rejected Israel." Psalm 79 says, "O God, the nations have come into your inheritance. They have defiled your holy temple. They have laid Jerusalem in ruins." Psalm 89 leads right into Psalm 90 by saying, "How long, O Lord? Will you hide yourself forever? How long will your wrath burn like fire? And Lord, where is your steadfast love of old, which by faithfulness you swore to David?" I imagine the Israelites were thinking about this destruction when they read Psalm 90. you turn us back to dust and say, turn back, you mortals. You sweep them away. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning, it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening, it fades and withers. The days of our life are 70 years, or perhaps 80 if we're strong. Even then, their span is only toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. It wasn't just the destruction of the temple. The destruction of the temple was a sign of how mortal Israel really was. Death interrupted the Israelites. As God's chosen people, even they faced the certainty of death. 1,000 ages in your sight are like an evening gone, short as the watch that ends the night before the rising sun. Death interrupted Moses. Ever since the time he was called by God from a burning bush, he had been leading the Israelites towards the promised land. When they were about to enter the land, God took Moses up to the top of Mount Nebo. God showed him the promised land and said to Moses, "This is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, 'I will give it to your descendants.' I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there." Then Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab at the Lord's command. He could see the land, but he couldn't enter. He died at 120, older than the 70 or 80 years of Psalm 90, but he still didn't live long enough to enter the promised land. Death interrupted Moses. 1,000 ages in your sight are like an evening gone, short as the watch that ends the night before the rising sun. Death interrupted me. At the end of August, my grandmother died after a long struggle with uterine cancer. Losing a grandparent is not the same as losing a spouse or a child or a parent, which I have been blessed to not experience. In fact, one of the difficult things about losing my grandma was simply watching my mom say goodbye to her mom. But because I was close to my grandma and because this was my first close experience with death, it was painful. When my grandma's pastor came to visit us as a family just before her death, he read to us from John 11. Lazarus has died, and Martha says to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." We recognized as a family that Martha's feelings were our own. It's hard to say a final goodbye. 1,000 ages in your sight are like an evening gone, short as the watch that ends the night before the rising sun. It wasn't just death that interrupted the Israelites, but sin interrupted the Israelites. Psalm 90 makes the connection between sin and death. "For we are consumed by your anger, by your wrath we are overwhelmed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days pass away under your wrath, our years come to an end like a sigh. Who considers the power of your anger? Your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you." Death is painful, and the psalm goes another step and sees it as a symptom of this broken world. Even the short life we live is painful and tainted by sin. Time, like an ever-rolling stream, soon bears us all away. We fly forgotten as a dream dies at the opening day. It wasn't just death that interrupted Moses, but sin interrupted Moses. When the Lord told him that he and his brother Aaron wouldn't enter the promised land, the Lord gave him a reason. "Because both of you broke faith with me among the Israelites by failing to maintain my holiness among the Israelites." Not entering the land wasn't the only tragedy of Moses' death. Death also brought the sadness of knowing that he had not lived up to God's plans for him. Time, like an ever-rolling stream, soon bears us all away. We fly forgotten as a dream dies at the opening day. It wasn't just death that interrupted me, but sin interrupted me. Not the sinfulness of my grandmother. She was a very good woman, and now that I miss her, I remember even more of the good things about her and less of the bad things as it goes. But in her death, we not only saw the brevity of life, we saw the injustice of life and death. My aunt said, "Why her? Why this one, God?" And I also wondered, why would God take such a good person so young, still in her 70s? Why leave my grandpa alone? Yes, God was with us as we grieved. But my grandma's death also showed us with great clarity the brokenness of the world. We live in a world where cancer exists and eats away at the bodies of those we love. It wasn't just death that interrupted me, but sin interrupted me. Time, like an ever-rolling stream, soon bears us all away. We fly forgotten as a dream dies at the opening day. In the midst of their exile, the Israelites discovered that God was there. The temple had been the place where the people dwelt with God. It had been the place where their faith lived. It had been their dwelling place. When the temple was destroyed, the people turned to God in Psalm 90 and prayed, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." The temple may have been destroyed, but they had an eternal dwelling place. The line of David may have been wiped out, but they had an eternal king. God's love for this people was older than the temple. It was older than Moses. It was older than even the mountains. In the midst of their exile, the Israelites discovered that God was there. Before the hills in order stood, or earth received its frame, from everlasting you are God, to endless years the same. In the midst of his dying days, Moses discovered that God was there. Moses was a hero for the people of Israel. But when he died, just before bringing them into the promised land, it might have been a startling reminder that Moses was not actually the one who had brought them that far in the wilderness. The Lord, who had brought them all the way from Egypt, was still there to bring them into the promised land, even without Moses. Soon before Moses died, the Lord commissioned Joshua. The Lord said to Joshua, "Be strong and bold, for you shall bring the Israelites into the land that I promised them. I will be with you." I think that Reinhold Niebuhr's words could have been inspired by Moses. He said, "Nothing that is worth doing can be achieved in our lifetime. Therefore, we must be saved by hope. Nothing which is true or beautiful or good makes complete sense in any immediate context of history. Therefore, we must be saved by faith. Nothing we do, however virtuous, can be accomplished alone. Therefore, we are saved by love." In the midst of his dying days, Moses could look over the promised land in faith, hope, and love and know that God would take the people there. "Before the hills in order stood, or earth received its frame, from everlasting you are God, to endless years the same." In the midst of my family's grief, I discovered that God was there. Scripture spoke to me at my grandma's funeral. Jeremiah said, "For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope." Isaiah said, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand." Hebrews said, "Be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God," Psalm 90 says. And at the funeral, I heard this promise echoing through all of the scriptures. God is always there. How do I know that? At the funeral, we also heard the story from John 11. This was the same story that the pastor read to us at my grandma's bedside. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." I'm among the younger in this group tonight, so forgive me for this truism. Life is short. Psalm 90 says that our years are soon gone and we fly away. But because Jesus Christ is our resurrection and life, our short life is part of a glorious eternity. My grandma's life did not even reach the 80 years, if you're strong, of Psalm 90. But she is a child of God. She's an adopted sister of the one who's the resurrection and the life. Her days were short, but God's love is long. Her earthly life is over, but God's faithfulness to her and to her loved ones continues forever. Before the hills in order stood, or earth received its frame, from everlasting you are God, to endless years the same. In the comfort of God's everlasting presence, the Israelites could move forward in hope. Psalm 90 ends by praying for wisdom about our mortality. "So teach us to count our days that we may gain a wise heart." It prays about spiritual satisfaction from God. "Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, so that we may rejoice and be glad all our days." It finally prays about fruitful work. "Prosper for us the work of our hands." When we know that God is forever, we can move through our own temporary lives with wisdom, satisfaction, and purpose. The Lord will prosper our work and satisfy us with wisdom and love. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. In the comfort of God's everlasting presence, Moses could move forward in hope. Before the Lord commissioned Joshua, Moses himself had some words for Joshua. He said, "It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." Because Moses trusted God, he could trust Joshua with the leadership of Israel and move forward in hope. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. In the comfort of God's everlasting presence, I can move forward in hope. Because of the hope that she has passed down to me, I know I'll see my grandma again. I hear about that hope in 1 Corinthians, where Paul teaches about the resurrection of Christ. Because of that resurrection, Paul says, we all will rise. When this perishable body puts on imperishability, and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? This is the resurrection hope that we have. But it's the way that Paul ends this chapter that's really interesting to me in light of Psalm 90. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Psalm 90 prayed, prosper for us the work of our hands. In the resurrection of Jesus Christ and in the promised resurrection of our own bodies, God answers that request. Yes, I will prosper the work of your hands. The God who was present in the exile of Israel and the death of Moses was present before creation itself. The God who has been our dwelling place in all generations continues to enfold us in his love today. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Thanks be to God.